Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to live radio. Unlike a lot of other people in this state, some we know and sort of love, but they chose to take all kinds of days off. But we're live, JP. Aren't we?
I know. We put the work in.
I know.
We earned everything.
Earned every bit of it. There's no participation trophies around here.
Nope.
I tell you what, I'm going to call an audible. So my second dipper is tarnished metals, and I'm going to get back to it, I think. But I want to jump on something that's fresh right now. So, all right. So I am not prone to what I would call conspiracy theorism. All right. I'm not, but I also am a trust but verify guy, big time. And especially in recent years, when I've seen some of the most heinous examples of government overreach, government attempting to shape the narrative, government suppressing views, government calling for things like vaccine mandates, or you lose your civilian job even though they have no right to do that, just on and on and on. So that being said, am I a little bit jaded? Maybe a tad. Trust but verify. Several things have happened in the last 24 hours that I look at and go, what is with y'all? So my third dipper is called Now You Tell Us, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to stretch it out a little bit further. So two things. One is the Now You Tell Us piece was inspired by what just happened last night. The FBI releasing information about something that happened 4 years ago. And I look at it and go, Now You Tell Us? Like, what's this about? I'll theorize that more in a minute. The other thing, though, I want to follow up on is FBI. What's going on with this Green Beret Master Sergeant who allegedly blew himself up in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas driving a Tesla? And I'll be honest with you, none of it makes sense. And I had a pretty long, epic kind of post about all the reasons why this Special Forces, this Green Beret Master Sergeant named Matthew Livelsberger, none of it's adding up. And I'll tell you why in a minute, all right? Because there's some new developments on that just came out in the last few minutes. So let me do the FBI thing with first of all, with this pipe bomb. So you remember this January 6th. Oh, no, January 6th. Yes, I'm going there. January 6th. The infamous insurrection. That's what it was, right? Insurrection, not really. But it was all the thing we heard about for the next 2 years. So, but if you remember the day before that, there were pipe bombs in Washington, D.C. that were placed near the headquarters of the Republican National Committee and the Democrat National Committee. The RNC and DNC headquarters both had pipe bombs. And we have never gotten any information about it. And you cannot tell me that in a city like Washington, D.C., that someone can walk up, place a pipe bomb right in front of a headquarters of that RNC or the DNC, and nobody knows nothing. Like, it never gets out. Nobody claimed responsibility. Nobody ever posted about it. No surveillance video ever shows up. Until now. 4 years later. It turns out the FBI has had video footage of a person setting one of the bombs all this time. Why would you not put it out? Why are you just telling about it now? So, story here on the Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday. The FBI Washington field office released new information on Thursday about the suspect they say placed pipe bombs near the headquarters of the RNC and the DNC in Washington, D.C. on January 5th of 2021. Almost exactly 4 years later. The FBI released never-before-seen video from the incident and announced that they believe the suspect is approximately 5'7" tall. I saw the video. He was wearing a hoodie, never turned his face to the camera. David Sundberg, who is the assistant director in charge of the FBI Washington field office, he said this. He said, quote, over the past 4 years, a dedicated team of FBI agents, analysts, data analysts, yada, 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 have visited more than 1,200 residences and businesses, conducted more than 1,000 interviews, reviewed approximately 39,000 video files, assessed more than 600 tips about who placed the pipe bombs. Really? You've done all that, and 4 years later, you don't bother to say boo to the public about it. Until all of a sudden, you realize the administration is about to change. And the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, recently tendered his resignation. And you know that Kash Patel's coming in, and he plans on doing things like, oh, I don't know, opening up the files. And all of a sudden, we now have a video of the guy setting one of the bombs. I mean, this is nuts. Anyway, the one thing they do say is distinctive is he was wearing what they refer to as distinctive Nike Air Max Speed Turf shoes. You know what those are? Are those?
Yeah, they're just normal shoes.
Well, they say that only 25,000 pairs have ever been made. 25,000.
Huh. Interesting.
25,000 pairs.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
So 25,000 people could have been in the mix on this pipe bomb. But what they'll do, I guess, is take the sales of those shoes and begin to track them through and then double check on social media, people who bought them, yada, yada, yada. They would have had to have had them in their hands, you know, between August of 2018 and January of 2021. I look at this and think there's no good reason to have withheld. If you wanted this video to help the public help you get somebody, you did it a long time ago. 4 years later? Please.
It's convenient timing. Weird timing.
It's convenient timing, but it's also, to me, it's political timing.
Yep.
They're trying to get it out there so that they can't be accused of withholding it once Kash Patel takes office.
Just covering their tracks.
Covering their tracks. That's just messed up.
Yep.
We don't know who this guy is that laid the bomb, but we do know this. If he's willing to lay a bomb, then we need to catch him sooner than later. And you waited 4 freaking years. Maybe it took them a month to get the video. I don't know. But you can look at it. Here's the thing. The video, have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
It was very close.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy, it's not like it's video that we didn't know existed from a camera no one knew was there from a long ways away. They've been enhancing it, trying to make it better. No. It's like a video from the building where the bomb was.
Like in a very good angle.
Yeah, like close. Like within like 40 feet. So if you get to the crime scene and you tape it off and you're looking around, you look up and there's the first camera you see, go get the video. And they've had it all this time. There's no way they didn't already have it.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I can't explain that except to say this is an obvious to me evidence of the FBI plays politics. And they didn't want to release something for some reason until they realized the jig was up and the new administration was coming in. And you might as well go ahead and say something about something. Because something's happening. Okay, there's that. But let's switch gears now. If that's the way they're going to treat an actual, you know, pipe bomber, then how long is it going to take for us to get to the bottom of what happened with this Green Beret Master Sergeant in Las Vegas? So Matthew Leibelsberger. Let me go back. I'm going to go back to the tweet that I put up last night. Let's see if I can get there. Yeah. I'm going to read this to you. I did this last night just off the cuff. It's a little bit long, but here's the thing. I said it does not add up about Master Sergeant Matthew Leibelsberger being a rogue domestic extremist. Let me tell you why. Number one, the man was an E-8. He was a Master Sergeant on active duty. And to get to that point, he already had to have gone through multiple levels of leadership training. I mean, like we're talking about everything from PLDC, ANOC, BNOC, all of it. He had to go through all these formal schoolings where he would have almost one-on-one evaluation by senior instructors. And you're telling me nobody noticed his rogue tendencies? He was also a career Special Forces NCO, a Green Beret. He served first as an SF communications sergeant, and he was recently selected to be an 18 Fox. That's a Special Forces intelligence sergeant. That's a senior-level position that would have necessitated a very high-level security clearance. I'm going to bet that he had at least a TSSCI. And a TSSCI probably read on to several SAPs. Those are secure access programs. This would have necessitated serious background checks, and nobody noticed rogue tendencies? Okay, here's some more things to think about. I mean, by all reports, this Matthew Leibelsberger, the guy who allegedly shot himself and then blew up his Tesla in front of Trump Hotel in Las Vegas, by all reports, he was at roughly 19 years of service. That's 1 year away from his retirement. 1 year away from having his 20. But as an active duty soldier, at 18 years, he hit what's called sanctuary. That's the place where they can't get rid of you. In other words, there's probably nothing they could have really done to cause him to jeopardize his retirement because he was already past sanctuary. But felonious actions like car bombings, that would mean that he would lose any survivor benefits his family is going to be without. And what we do know from social media now is that he was married again for his second time just a few years ago and has a small child. He has a baby. So why would he sacrifice his family's well-being? All right, there's that. How about this? Matthew Leibelsberger. The Pentagon released his records. 5 bronze stars, one of which with a V for valor. A valor in combat. Multiple Army Commendation Medals, one of which had a V for valor in combat. Combat Infantryman's Badge, Special Forces tab. He was also not only Special Forces and Jumpmaster qualified, he was a military freefall specialist, Halo guy. So he could still go rogue after all that training, right? Yeah, but his record clearly indicates he was somebody who had more drive and more personal discipline than 99% of Americans. All right, then there's the fact that he had a high-level security clearance. You don't just get the clearance and then ride it forever. You get the clearance and you have to go through every several years, you go through periodic reevals. They have to do reevals. And when they do reevals, you not only have to report and attest under oath to your background, your debt, your connections to foreign nations, all those things. I've done it, I can tell you. But then they actually send somebody around to interview you. And oh, by the way, they go and interview your friends and associates. So you're telling me that he made it through all of that with nobody noticing anything? There's more. I got to take a break right now. When I come back, I'll give you more things to think about him that make it really curious that this is who allegedly shot himself in front of Trump Hotel and then blew up his Tesla. More to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades is what we're doing. So I'm doing this sort of breakdown of the really weird situation we have with the Special Forces Master Sergeant, Matthew Leibelsberger, who allegedly took his own life in the front seat of a Tesla truck and then blew it up. It blew up in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. And we're trying to figure out why. And by the way, how many things don't add up about him being the kind of guy that would do this? There is no evidence. There's nothing that he was in any way involved in scandals, that he in some way had anti-government tendencies, that he was in any way a rogue. He didn't do nothing like that. In fact, his family and friends have all come out and said he was actually really conservative. He was super excited about Trump getting elected, and this is not like him. Let me tell you a little more about him, all right? So I mentioned a minute ago that he was highly decorated for valor in combat. Multiple. He had 5 bronze stars, one of which had a V for valor in combat, and then multiple Army Commendation Medals, one of which had a V for valor in combat. Multiple tours in Afghanistan. But he also carried this high-level security clearance. And then, oh, by the way, it also bears noting that being a Green Beret is not just about overcoming physical challenges and being good with weapons, because the assessment and selection to be an SF soldier requires some pretty serious and rigorous mental and emotional testing and evaluation. He made it through the most rigorous of psych evals, is what I'm trying to say. And they don't just leave it there. They have to maintain that. All right, here's the other thing. He's an active duty master sergeant. So as an active duty E8, he would have had a career that is filled with what are called NCOERs, non-commissioned officer evaluation reports. Those things happen at a minimum of annually. But they can even happen more often than that if you have a change of command or you have a change of duty station. And so you're coming and going, so you have to get the outgoing, you know, NCOER, and then the incoming one gives you an NCO, counseling statement to tell you what your expectations are. So know what I'm trying to say is this. He is not an unevaluated individual. There has to be a record of what kind of troop he was, and there's no indication he was a bad troop. And then, how about this? There's the bomb itself. You got a guy who's a 19-year veteran of Special Forces. He enlisted in the mid-2000s as what's known as an 18 X-ray. That's an off-the-street, I went to the recruiter. I signed up to be Special Forces from day one. So he's they call it the SF Baby Program. That means his entire career has been in Special Forces. Within that, he's going to have any amount of, I mean, he's going to have a pretty serious amount of cross-training that's going to include the employment of explosives. He's going to have IED and counter IED training. He's going to have a basic EOD training. He's going to have cross-leveling with the 18 series engineers on his ODA. He's going to have more than enough knowledge to do better job than what he did on this IED that went off in his truck. Because by all rights, it was a somewhat amateurish explosion. Big enough to cause damage, yes. And the Tesla truck may have been stronger than the average car, yes. But a serious IED, and speaking as someone who's been next to a serious IED when it went off, I can just tell you, a serious IED is going to gut that thing like a fish, and it didn't. It's loaded with fireworks and gas cans. I mean, that's not big doings. All right, all said and done, it leaves a whole lot of questions. Well, more questions arose today. All right, I said all of that to talk about who he was. Let's talk about what just happened. So Sean Ryan, you know, some of y'all know Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan has a really popular, he's a former special operator himself. He's got a really popular podcast. I may wind up having to do this after the break, but Sean Ryan just went live with a podcast today. Apparently, he got an email from this Master Sergeant Matthew Leibelsberger just a day or so before the events happened. And it's very telling. A little bit like a manifesto. And it talks about things that are now being talked about on Sean Ryan's podcast. And Sean Ryan himself says, my family and I are going to disappear for a few days. Don't worry about us. This is getting weirder by the moment. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. And I mean, this show goes like, whoo, from the northern edge all the way down to Birmingham, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden and parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Oh, by the way. Coming up here in about, what, how many days? 10 days.
10 days.
10 days. 10 days from now, we go live in Chattanooga, WGOW Chattanooga. We look forward to joining y'all. We're pretty stoked about it. And that'll put us into a range that covers not only our current audience, but also covering the little corner of northeast Alabama we couldn't quite get to over in Scottsboro. And then up on yonder into Chattanooga, East Tennessee, and down into northwest Georgia towards Rome and all that area. Oh, man, this is going to be awesome. So anyway, we're looking forward to it. All good. So we do have a change in the lineup, and I see Steve from Hoover.
Yeah, I don't think Steve got the message.
Apparently, we've been talking about it for weeks now, but yeah, Steve from Hoover just texted in 101.1 FM out of Birmingham. We just went through contract renegotiations with them and decided at the end of it all that we were best parting ways. So as of 2 days ago, we are off the air in 101.1 in Birmingham. But you can still get us live. So if you have friends down yonder, tell them we're still looking at other options in that area. And we plan on bringing that one back, but not on 101.1. They can find us online very easily, like in 1,000 different ways. So check it out. All right, I'm back on this thing about Matthew Leibelsberger. So Master Sergeant Matthew Leibelsberger, career Green Beret, most recently with 10th Special Forces Group. So the odd thing is, out of all the stuff we just talked about with him and his career, and the fact that everyone says he was a good dude, there was no indication of trouble, he was highly qualified, he was decorated for valor, he had 19 years of service, he was just about to his retirement, he had a new baby, all these things you look at and go, oh, this doesn't make sense at all. Well, Sean Ryan's podcast just released today the news that they just got an email from him right as he was heading into the moment, I guess you put it, as he allegedly shot himself with a Desert Eagle pistol. By the way, a Desert Eagle pistol is like carrying around a brick. I mean, this is nobody totes around a Desert Eagle for something like this. But anyway, bottom line is they found a burned up Desert Eagle pistol and one other rifle, I believe, in the vehicle, along with his ID card, which didn't burn up apparently. So a guy named Sam Shoemate got an email from him just before the explosion, and it has a lot of weird stuff in it, but it's not rambling weird. It's not like the kind of weird like the Unabomber weird, where he's, you know, speaking about rainbows and unicorns. It's not like that.
It's pretty specific.
It's very specific. In fact, at one point he says, "I'm not under duress or hostile influence or control, and my first car was a 2006 Black Ford Mustang with a V6 for verification." In other words, what he's doing, he's putting duress code into it. He's giving clear indication that this is him writing it, allegedly. And yeah. And he also confirms his identity on some social media platforms, one on LinkedIn where he uses a different name, and one under his real name on another platform. But he talks about the fact that he's trying to get to a decision point, but he doesn't say what the decision point is. He's also trying to get to the Mexican border. And he says, "I'm sending this now." And he goes on to talk about the fact that he is being pursued, he says, by reps from the government because of his interactions with two things. One is the drones we've been seeing over the East Coast. Wow. And his own personal knowledge of having been involved in what he calls war in Afghanistan. Not him per se being involved, but him being a member of a task force that was involved. Not war crimes on the ground, but war crimes in terms of targeting. And he talks about continued strikes after civilians were spotted and a lot of civilians were killed. And he's very aware of it, and he wants to be a whistleblower. But he says there was a DEA agent involved, and he talks about several other people, and he names names. And he goes on to say that that information needs to get out, and he wants it out. A couple of names were actually redacted because to put their names out there right now would be defamatory, not knowing any more than we do. But then he talks about the drones. Okay, and this is where it gets really bizarre. But he says that these drones that we're seeing right now over the East Coast areas are of Chinese origin. And he says that they are, what did he call them? Where'd it go? I just lost my place in the read. What do you call it?
Gravitic propulsion systems, yes.
Basically, and you can look it up. I saw something else posted about it, that this is a pioneering system of basically anti-gravity type systems. Really? We're talking like UFO kind of stuff. He says China, this is a quote from the email. He says China has been launching them from the Atlantic from submarines for years, but the activity has recently picked up. He says as of now it's a show of force, and they're using it similar to how they use that balloon for signal intelligence and ISR, intelligence surveillance reconnaissance, which is also part of their integrated comms systems. He said there are dozens of those balloons in the air at any given time. He said the so what of this is because of the speed and the stealth of these unmanned aircraft. They are the most dangerous threat to national security that's ever existed. They basically have an unlimited payload capacity, and they can park themselves right over the White House if they want to. It's checkmate, he says. The U.S. government needs to give the history of this, but how we're employing it and weaponizing it, how China's employing it. He says that we and China are the only two that have this technology, but that China has been employing it over our coast. He said China is poised to attack anywhere in the East Coast. He said, I've been followed for over a week and now likely from Homeland or FBI, and they're looking to move on me. Unlikely to let me cross into Mexico, but they won't because they know I'm armed and I have a massive VBID. So this is, listen, I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. But he talks about the fact that he has DOD, DEA, and CIA contacts who are guilty of war crimes. And then he also talks about a program that he believes that he's fully aware of and as some knowledge of because he's UAS trained, unmanned aerial systems trained, that is a threat to the U.S. that they're not telling the public about. That's what's happening right now. Is that not the weirdest set? Are we in a Jason Bourne situation right now? That's what it feels like.
It's like bizarro world.
It is bizarro world. And do I 100% believe? How can I? I don't know more than what I just told you. I don't know that you can look at this and go, well, that's real. At the same time, I don't know you can look at this and go, well, there's no way that's real. There's enough here about this man to where it has an air of credibility. This is not a wingding who sits in his underwear in mommy's basement and types out conspiracy theories and spends too much time on social media and, you know, just surfing the internet. It's not that. This is a guy who I read you a street cred a while ago. This is a guy who you have, if you met him on the street, you'd say, what a dude. You know, everybody who served with him in uniform that we know of so far says solid as a rock. And yet now we have an alleged email from him talking about some really weird stuff. And he allegedly shot himself in the front seat of a rented Tesla and then blew it up in front of Trump Hotel. Why?
Yeah, I don't know why blowing up would be the solution.
And why would that be the solution? Yeah, some say it's because they were going to try and disappear him and he wasn't going to let it happen.
He just disappeared himself, you know?
So he disappeared himself. And then, you know, you look at it and think, if you're going to disappear, if they're going to do something to you, at least it leaves benefits for your family, not when you've committed a felony. I'm pretty sure you lose your benefits. I think that's kind of tanked at this point. So I don't know, man. The whole thing is whacked. Okay, several text messages. Brian from Huntsville says, not under hostile control. He said, we're all tempted. I wish he had seen an army chaplain. I do too. I do too. Matt from Madison says, hey, thanks for pointing out all these discrepancies that people think I'm nuts for seeing. There you go. Herb from Gurley said, did you say he shot himself and then detonated the bomb? He would have to have a dead man switch. Maybe the switch can be recovered and examined. It seems more likely he knew something, made the plan to kill people in New Orleans, and he was killed and blew up. Listen, I don't know about anything connected with New Orleans. There's a couple of odd threads. What we do know is that he and the terrorist in New Orleans both used the same app to get these cars. These were not normal rental cars. They were peer-to-peer rideshare cars. You can basically pay money online through like a Venmo kind of situation and go to a lockbox and get the key. Which, why does that work? But so both of these came through the same app. They also both served at Fort Bragg. But like you said yesterday, 57,000 people on Fort Bragg. What does that mean? They're not the kind of people that ran in the same circles. Gary from Decatur says the Muslim Dr. Nidal Hassan at Fort Bragg didn't cause any alarms either, or were they ignored? No, they were ignored. The FBI had Nidal Hassan on their radar, and there were a lot of people who were tired of Nidal Hassan who, for political correctness reasons, didn't want to write him up or make trouble. They were scared of making waves. And people died because of it. Alif Mathin says, Colonel, your observations with regard to the so-called Tesla terrorists were absolutely superb. Thank you. I appreciate that, Ali. And I thank you for raising the questions and giving a point-by-point breakdown of all the fail-safes that had to have been in place for this man to have been serving the way he did. Something is indeed rotten in Denmark. Ali, thank you, my friend. Kimball from Harvest says, Phil, all these scandals, these pipe bombs, etc., are being kept under wraps by the deep state and all these unelected officials. As long as the current administration's in power, we absolutely won't have much information or accountability. Hopefully, the incoming administration can break some things loose, but it's going to take more time. They're currently doing damage control. I won't be surprised if there's more preemptive pardons at the last minute. I agree. I mean, right now, I'm watching as Joe Biden is giving medals of honor out. I mean, who gives out 7 medals of honor in one day?
I was gonna make a joke, but I'm like,
he's the
last inflation tactic. He's inflating that medal right there. Oh, he's inflated the economy. He's inflating that. It's It has no value anymore.
No, well, yeah, and I'm sure there's some people that are worthy of receiving a medal that are standing there receiving it from the president, but it just definitely cheapens it. You're right. It definitely cheapens it when he gives out 7 in a day.
Yeah.
And he's reaching back. He's doing a lot of DEI type stuff where he's saying, well, let's see if we can find one. Who was the first Hispanic to, who was the first? And it's
handing them out like air candy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right, listen, that was a whole lot of almost conspiracy theory, but it's not. There's a lot of real stuff out there that we now know. And yet there's so much more that we don't know. And I want to know when we're going to know. How about that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.